And I know you've been welcome, but I'd like to welcome you to Carmel Community Church, where we really today are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of the songs that we've been singing have been talking about victory over death. So what does that mean? Because death is physical and we all die. But the victory that Jesus won over death was the fact that death has no longer got hold on us. There is a hope and a future in Christ Jesus. And he brings us into relationship with his Father once again. See, the death that we live in is the death of separation from God. And the death that has been overcome is the victory that enables us once again to be in communion with him and allow him to work in our lives. And that's why we celebrate it, because he's come to set us free. He's come to give us a newness of life. He's come to transform who we are. And when we do die, our death is not the end. It is the beginning of the next stage of our eternal security. So we're just going to pray, and then I'm just going to share some thoughts with you this morning. Father God, we just thank you for your death. And we thank you for your resurrection. Without your resurrection, we wouldn't be here today. And we just celebrate it together. Just speak to our hearts right now as we worship and consider you. Amen. It's just very distracting. Can you have you turned the amp off for the fallback? Just trying to work out what's going on. Give me the other mic. Who's led the service this morning? She's done a great job, hasn't she?
Yeah.
She left the microphone on, that's what it was. All that good work, just gone to pieces. This morning I want to talk about the resurrection of Jesus and our response to his resurrection, because we will all respond in a different way. And so I just want to look at scripture, and I just want to look at some of the characters around Jesus at the time, how they responded to his death and his resurrection. And so before I begin, I just want to show a short video which is looking at the response of Thomas. Mark chapter 16. So this was what we now celebrate as Easter morning. This is the resurrection morning. And this is how it played out at the time. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they may go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So we see that scene set before us of the morning of the resurrection. And really how, although Jesus had been talking about his death and his resurrection, when it came to it, all that seems to have disappeared. And they were all looking for a body, not for a risen Saviour. And the disciples were the same. They didn't know what was going on. They were confused and obviously emotionally distraught because they'd lost their leader, their mentor, the one who told them all about the kingdom of heaven. And they responded in a human way. And as we look around the world today, we can see that people, even today, respond to the resurrection of Jesus in different ways. See, the concept of bringing something back to life is a very complex one. We all understand about death. We can all accept death, and many people accept the death of Jesus Christ because it's well documented. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is accessed by faith. We believe. Many countries will celebrate today as a joyous occasion to remember, and we join in with that. Because of the death and because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have been set free. We have got God living in us and transforming us. We have a hope, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And so we respond in a celebratory way when we consider the cross and the resurrection. But many people don't understand the resurrection. Many people don't believe the resurrection. But to those of us who have been saved, it says it's the power of God working in us. We have a power that works in us. Every moment of every day, God is working in us. He's transforming us. He's dealing with stuff in our lives. He's bringing new hope. We are new creations, and he is continually recreating who we are. It's a marvelous thing, the power of God working in us. Well, today we're in a very privileged position of having 2,000 years of research into the life of Christ. We have the Word of God, which opens up to us the heart of God, the plans of God for humanity. We have teachers, we have churches, all giving us evidence of the life of Christ and his mission to bring salvation into the world. We've got to remember that the disciples didn't have this. They didn't have all the stuff that we've got today. And so when this huge event happened in their lives, they were somewhat distressed. But even with all the information that we have, many people still don't understand and don't accept the truth of who Jesus is and reject it as foolishness. But as we read the Bible, we see that during his time on the earth, he experienced exactly the same reactions that we get today. There's nothing new about people dismissing who God, what God is and what he's tried to do through his son, Jesus Christ. He was rejected by the religious leaders, dismissed by the authorities, but for many, he became the savior of their souls. And if we look into the lives of those who were close to Jesus, we see some of his disciples understanding the resurrection in a different way. We've already seen the video of Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. So very often people will say, you're a Doubting Thomas, because it was such a significant thing. He spent time with Jesus. He would have seen all that Jesus did. He would have heard all that Jesus said. He lived with him. He listened to this message of salvation and freedom from the law. He would have had conversation with Jesus, and yet he still struggled with the truth of who Jesus was. He was obviously very pragmatic. I'm not believing it till I see it. I'm not believing that Jesus is resurrected till I see the wound in his side and I see the nail prints in his hand. He doubted the resurrection of Jesus. We see Judas Iscariot. If you're a Judas, what are you? You're a betrayer. And Judas betrayed Jesus. He spent time with Jesus as well. He would have seen all the stuff that all the disciples had seen. He was responsible for the purse, for the money. But it was his weakness. He was responsible for looking after the everyday needs of the group, providing food and provision for them. But this was his weakness and his passion. And he was always looking for opportunities to line his own pockets and sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It's his weakness. He saw more glory, more benefit of selling Jesus than supporting him and being faithful to him. it tells us, doesn't it, that he was so full of remorse that he went and hanged himself. And I don't know whether you can imagine what he must have felt like, but betraying this man, Jesus Christ, it was so heavy on his heart that he took his own life. We read a story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus came and walked with them. I love this story. And they were talking to each other, and they said, haven't you heard about the events that have gone on in Jerusalem? That this Jesus, who we'd all put our faith in, he's been crucified. And we thought he was going to lead us to victory. We thought he was going to take us to a new place politically. He was going to overcome the Roman Empire and dismiss them from our land. And Jesus began to talk about the prophecies in the Old Testament. And he began to talk about what it meant for them. And he spent some time with them just discussing what had happened. But it's interesting that they got hold of the wrong end of the stick, if you like, that they were looking for a political leader. But Jesus was much bigger than that, and he comes for our hearts. He's interested in our hearts. And it says that as he went with them and he broke bread with them, their eyes were opened and they saw Jesus. They saw him. And so this morning, maybe we need our eyes opening yet again to see the truth and the reality of what the resurrection means. We had a meeting at the cross, didn't we? We had two men who were crucified next to Jesus. One of them was calling Jesus all kinds of names. He wasn't in a good place. But the other one said, "You are the Christ. Can you forgive me?" And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And as we read the story around the resurrection, we read between the lines, there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of, is it true? Isn't it true? What do we do now? And it shook their faith to the very core. On the third day, it says that Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated the grave. He defeated the power of sin and death. He accomplished all that was required to make a way for the world to be saved from the power of sin, and he began to declare this openly. The death of Jesus and the resurrection was a fulcrum in history. Not only in terms of how we understand time over the years, but in terms of the victory over the power of sin and death. There was a huge war. I would imagine that Satan and all his cohorts would have been desperately trying to keep Jesus locked in death, but they had no way of keeping hold of him because he had lived a sinless life. He was the ultimate and perfect sacrifice for sin. They couldn't keep hold of him. And he rose again from the dead. That overcame the power of sin and death in our lives. So the power of sin is something that drives our behaviours, something that we're not in control of. Something, I don't know whether you've ever done something and you think, why have I just done that? Why did I do that? I can't believe I've just done this thing. Because very often we are driven by this power. We have no way of stopping it, which is why Jesus came. He died and he rose again because he overcame the power of sin in our lives. So if we put our faith in him, if we accept him as our saviour, then that power is diminished and we can live a life that overcomes this power and drives some of our behaviours. This is where the challenge came for Thomas. He'd heard about the resurrection of Jesus, but either couldn't or wouldn't believe it. Not until I see him, not until I touch his body, will I believe it. As we remember and celebrate all that Christ has done, all that he's achieved through his death and resurrection, how are you responding this morning? Are you believing or are you doubting? Has something else in life gripped you so that you can't recognize the truth. Some of the things that are around us draw our attention, they draw our passion, they draw all of who we are, and we can't recognize the truth. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel remorse for failing Jesus, or the guilt that you have denied him. Are you confused about the meaning of who Jesus was and what he did? And what a glorious morning, the resurrection morning, to actually begin to put our faith in who Jesus was and all that he achieved for us. I think what we recognize is that how Jesus responded to those who really had left him. The disciples had all scattered. But Jesus' response wasn't the response that very often we would have given. The culture of the kingdom of heaven always offers an alternative reaction to rejection, doubt, and failure. Jesus didn't react as we would have done. He dealt in love and grace. Thomas wasn't criticized. He wasn't rejected. He was forgiven and accepted. Love and grace. That's what Jesus came to bring into the world. Love and grace. Peter, who denied Christ three times, love and grace was applied to Peter, and he became the leader of the new church. And after meditating and thinking about Judas, I really believe that if Judas had come to Jesus, he too would have been forgiven. See, Jesus doesn't operate at our level, he operates at kingdom level. And the love and grace that he brings into our heart just sets us free from all the stuff that seeks to bind us. We have been set free this morning. The resurrection of Jesus Christ transformed the world because it gives everyone the opportunity to experience an alternative culture, an alternative kingdom, one of forgiveness, one of love, and one of grace. We talked a little bit on Friday about the law and how the Jews lived by the law. Everything they did had to fall into line with the law of God, and how often they failed and had to bring sacrifices for forgiveness. That law has been superseded. We can now have direct access. We can now have a direct relationship with our Father in heaven. We can live in the freedom that the cross has brought us. So this morning, as we come to him, as we remember the resurrection, what is your response to the resurrection? Is it one of belief, one of guilt and shame, one of I believe, I want to receive all that God has got for me? It's really important that we recognize that in our humanity, very often we will fail. Sometimes we'll even deny Christ. Sometimes we'll let him down. But he doesn't respond in any other way than love or grace. He's always there to welcome us back. Let's just pray together. Father God, we just thank you.